is music to our minister's ears. We turn now to God's word then. It's Acts chapter 20. And we are still working our way through Paul's farewell to the elders from Ephesus. He's called them all the way to Troas to speak to them. We come to the last section, hoping to deal with all of it this morning, where he speaks about the elders themselves and their future and their ministry, and he calls them to faithfulness and warns them of dangers. So we read from Acts chapter 20 at verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock of God, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with the blood of his own Son. And if you have a footnote, I'm sure you do, it'll tell you that there's actually no mention of God the Son in that verse. RSV and other translations put it in because of the startling boldness of the statement, which speaks of the blood of God. His own blood is what it says literally. Verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by so toiling one must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And so they brought him to the ship. This is God's word. And to God be all the praise and the glory. We have taken Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders in three parts. It does fall into three parts very readily. First of all, he has spoken of his own ministry. That is, of course, his ministry in Ephesus. And then he spoke about his plans for the future, his own plans for his own future in the will of God. And that's what we looked at last week. And this morning we come to the last section where he speaks not about himself, either his own ministry or plans, but about the church in Ephesus and about the ministry there. He's speaking about the ministry of the elders. And then the whole thing closes with this painful, tearful farewell and Paul being put onto the boat heading for ultimately Jerusalem, planning beyond that to go to Rome and perhaps even Spain. That's where we are then. Now, this is a very rich passage, and I have a strong feeling that we're not going to get any further than the first verse of it this morning. We'll try, but would you look at that first verse again? It is indeed very, very rich. Take heed to yourselves, he says, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care, that is literally to shepherd, the church of God, which God obtained with the blood of his own, or with his own blood, which the RSV chooses to point us towards the Son regarding. Christians are called to serve God. Of course, the first thing you're called to as a Christian is to be something. That is to be a child of God. You're called to be before you're called to do anything. But doing is the evidence of being. Going on to obey God and serve Him shows that you have indeed come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. All Christians then are called to God's service, and I believe the Bible is quite clear in telling us in many different ways that each Christian is called to a particular place, to a unique life of service. In that service, the same rules apply to every one of us, whatever we're called to, wherever we're called to serve. And these rules, in part at least, are laid before us in this verse. This is what he says. First of all, pay heed to your own spiritual condition. And only then, says Paul, should you pay any heed to the condition of other people, to the condition of the church of Jesus. When Paul writes in very practical terms to the young Timothy, the young lieutenant taking over from the retiring general, as it were, he says this to him, Timothy, take heed, what to? To yourself. Take heed to yourself. And to your teaching. Hold to that, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. First then, pay attention to your own spiritual condition. Pay attention to your own obedience to Jesus Christ, and then you can turn and look at others and look at the condition of the church. That's the order for Christian service. Especially it is the order for those who accept some position of leadership in the church. And leadership, very often in the New Testament, is spoken of in this way. That is, of a shepherd looking after the flock. That's what an elder is. A pastor. A shepherd. One who has to care for the flock of God. What's the rule then? The first rule is, first of all, shepherds, see to yourselves before you look to the sheep. See to your own spiritual condition. And then you might be able to help others who have spiritual needs. Now, although the New Testament, and indeed the Old also, speaks over and over again in these terms of the church of God as the flock of God, it's very uncommon to find it referred to in Paul's writing. It takes us all the way back, though, to Psalm 100. To Isaiah 40, to Jeremiah 13, especially to Ezekiel, who speaks in very strong terms about God's people as the flock of God. And think of what Jesus does with the figure. Luke, who brought together the book of Acts, records Jesus' teaching in chapters 12, 15, and 19 of his gospel, where Jesus speaks using this figure of the flock of God. Think of John 10. Which speaks of the fold of the sheep, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knowing each one of the flock, and so on. And you'll see that from this came the whole idea of the pastor, the bishop, the presbyter, the elder. Yes, elders too. It's all the same group of words. From this came the idea of the pastor. The first thing then is that those who would look after others, those who would accept any position of leadership in the church, must first know that they are led by Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the archiepiscopoi, the archbishop, the great pastor. But there's much else in this verse that we should share. What he says firstly after opening with that instruction is that the pastor is to care for all the flock. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. I don't know whether shepherds have favourites. I imagine inevitably they do. There are always, I'm sure, in every flock, sheep who are a bit annoying. I think the shepherds I know call them silly gimmers. Maybe there's an equivalent in the Church of Jesus. But they must not be left out. If a sheep is the kind that tends to wander, then that's the very one that needs to be gone and sought out. Remember Jesus in his little parable about the one sheep that strayed, and the shepherd leaving them to seek that one. Yes, there has to be a care for those who make mistakes. There's to be care for all the flock, that is, for those who don't perhaps take their place as they should, they hang back. For those who have difficulty fitting in. To the members of the flock that exasperate everyone else. Sometimes, you know, we are to deal with those who have most difficulties with greatest care so that other people begin to resent it. But we are called to care for them. The shepherd is not called to decide who in the flock is a sheep and who is a goat. It's not his business to decide who's definitely okay, who really has come to know Jesus Christ and who hasn't. Jesus spoke about sheep and goats in exactly that way, and he spoke about wheat and tares in the same way too, saying, it's not your business to divide in the harvest. It's not your business to go into the shedding ring and take out the lambs that aren't really lambs at all. Leave that, said Jesus, till the end. That's my business. That's the business of the Father and the angels. And so sometimes people get a bit annoyed because priority is not given to them, and they see other people being given a great deal of attention. And they think that pastor spends too much time with straying members of the flock. What about those who are always there? Well, those who are called to be elders of the flock are called to care, says Paul, for them all, not just some. Sometimes, you know, there's quite a difference between what God is calling us to do and what we think God should call us to do. There's certainly very often a difference, isn't there, between what God is telling us to do and what we want to or think we should be doing. An elder's first responsibility is to be right with God himself before he looks at anyone else. And then the responsibility is to care for the flock, but all the flock. I told you it was a very rich verse, so it is. The next thing has to do with the way elders come forward to serve God. He speaks of those whom the Holy Spirit has appointed. Overseers, bishops, elders, deacons, presbyters, pastors, it's all the same. But they must be those whom the Holy Spirit has appointed. We've looked at this before in the book of Acts, chapter 14, chapter 6, right back to chapter 1, verse 24, where we see that it's the Holy Spirit's work to raise up those who will serve as leaders in the flock of God. And it's the job of the church to recognize those whom God is equipping and calling to that service. And above all, if they are Holy Spirit appointed persons, then they will be spiritual men. They will be those whom the Holy Spirit has called and empowered to care for others. Now, I don't need to point out to you how much of a disaster it has been for many generations now, not so many, but at least a good few generations now, that far too many have been called to serve as leaders in the church because they had a certain position in society, or because they seem to have certain qualities and gifts, or because their job meant that they could do another kind of job in the church. All very well, but all very unworthy, if we are not prayerfully seeking those whom God is appointing. These are Holy Spirit appointed people. The Holy Spirit must call, must lead, must empower, must prepare church leaders if we are to make the church spiritually well. And see a church that grows, not just in the bare matter of numbers, but grows spiritually in the growth of each member. And there's more. Called, he says, pointed by the Holy Spirit and called, he says, to care for the church of God. And the very word care is the use of the word shepherd again. They are called to shepherd the sheep. What's the first motivation in accepting leadership in the church of God? Well, it's the call of the Holy Spirit. What's the second? Well, it's concern for God's people. Serving God through serving the flock. A love for God's people. God needs the shepherd to lead. To lead from the front. To this very day, in the Judean hills, should you go there, you'll see flocks being led by Bedouin boys. Very much as in the days of the New and Old Testaments. They don't trail along behind them, driving them forwards. They don't send dogs out on the flanks to keep them in shape. They walk. And the flock, knowing the shepherd, trusting the boy, follow. There's been a great deal in recent generations of barking at congregations, trying to drive them into ways that certain people think they should go. But that's not leadership. And it's not biblical pastoring. There's still more in this verse. We're still in verse 28, it speaks of the church as the flock which he has obtained, that is, which God has obtained, therefore they are his people. The bringing of people of all kinds to God through faith in Jesus Christ is, says this verse, and says the Bible, by God's grace, not by our efforts. And when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can acknowledge the influence and the guidance and the help and the leading of individual people who've shown us Christ and spoken to us of Him. But we also come to know that it was God through them bringing us to Himself. The flock is the flock God has obtained, no one else. And God calls and God draws men and women to Himself. And God brings them through Christ to be saved. And He adds them to His flock, to His church. And He blesses them. And He uses them. And He puts them in a place of service themselves. And it's all of God. And therefore, although there is an urgency in our call to bear witness to Jesus Christ to others, there's no desperation in that urgency. And sometimes Christians become almost desperate in trying to justify themselves by adding converts to the flock. The trouble with that is that people may come into that flock for the wrong reasons, and not because they know the great shepherd of the sheep at all. It's also the way that leads into becoming obsessed with numerical growth, our numbers. And that is quite a temptation. But we do not obtain the church for God. God obtains His own flock. That's the word obtains in this verse in our translation. He obtains the church. It is God at work through us, perhaps, yes. Hopefully, yes. But it's God bringing men and women to saving faith. And there's one more point in this verse. Paul closes this sentence by speaking of the cost. That is, what the flock is worth. And he's speaking, of course, about the cost of redemption. God's lambs are expensive. And this is why we must prize each other so highly. This is why those who are called to leadership must tend all the flock. This is why we must see to it that it's the right people who are being brought forward to take positions of leadership in the church, those who are truly being prepared and called by the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important. And this is why we must care about God's people and shepherd them. Because they are so valuable. because their belonging to the flock at all is a matter of costly redemption, a high redemption price, the blood of his own. You know, I don't think it's an accident at all that this verse puts it so starkly and alarmingly that every English translation wants to change it. Because we have to face the fact that in the original language it does speak about the blood of God. You say, God has no blood. God has a Son who is incarnate, who spilled red blood, human blood, for human sin, and who died a real human death for real human beings. Now let's think about this for a moment. This is the reason for everything Paul has said in this densely packed little verse. God's lambs are expensive. How valuable are they? Well, what value has God placed upon them? He has exchanged their lives for the life of the Lamb of God, for the life of Jesus Christ, his only Son. Now, if God is calling you to himself, if he's calling you to surrender to the claims of his Son, Jesus Christ, the kingly claims of the Lamb, then you have to know that this is the price that he has placed upon your head. This is what you are worth to him. You are worth the death of his Son, that you might live. That's the value God has placed upon you. And although everything in your heart might cry out to say, I'm not worth anything like that, that is what you are worth to God. That is the price he has paid for you. And if he's calling you to himself, that's the price, the cost at which you must come to him. And when you and I look around at others who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be constantly reminded that that is our brothers and sisters worth to God. That's the price he paid. That's the cost of every lamb in this flock. And I say to you also that if God is calling you as a Christian to be more faithful and obedient, to change your life for him and to give your life to him, then that's the basis on which he calls you to do it, that he has given the life of his Son for you. That's the price he paid. What in all the world can you hold back when he calls you? And calls you on to change that life of yours and to obey him and to give yourself to him in a new way. That's the basis of God's claims upon us. The value which he has placed upon us. The price at which he has bought us. And redeemed us. And brought us out of sin into forgiveness. Out of death into life. Out of darkness into light. Out of estrangement into reconciliation. Why must we have the highest quality of leadership in the church? Why must we have elders who are filled with the Spirit of God? Because of the high price God pays for his flock. Why must we cleanse the church of Jesus and always go on cleansing of it if it's triviality? Because God's price paid was not a trivial price. Why do we have to care? And why does the Bible tell us we have to care deeply for God's people? Because God cares deeply. And because God has spilled the blood of the Lamb. His Lamb, his Son, as the purchase price of the flock. Is God calling you? What's He calling you to? To that great first step of trusting Him and loving Him, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Well, the price of that coming to God is the price of His Son's life. You must take the step. And if you're going on to take your second or whatever step it is in obedience to Him, a step into service and deeper consecration, whatever it is, then the same thing applies. The price of your call is a high one. The price is also found in the shedding of the blood of Christ. My dear friends, we've got no further. As I have suspected, we would get no further than the opening verse of this. But let's read it again as we close. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with the blood of His Son. Let us pray. Almighty and beloved God, we cannot, even when we try, we cannot fully comprehend the price You paid, the cost at which we are ransomed, redeemed, and forgiven. But we must accept, and so we do this morning. And we ask that You will show us afresh what a value You place upon those You call to Yourself. And so also treat each other with love and care. Father, take us from here this morning and help us to speak to others, not only in words, but also in what we are, to speak of what You are, what You have done, what Jesus Christ is to those who turn to Him. Keep us faithful in this, for His dear name's sake. Amen.